time to get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. The Lord is so good. He is. He is so good all the time. Not only he has given us his word, he has also given us his Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth of his word, to lead us into truth. So we want to just stop and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you are showing us today as we continue this series on But Wait, There's More, that you can speak to our hearts to reveal to us what it is you're showing each of us individually. Lord, we allow you to see, to open our hearts, and to shine the light on what needs to be shown, to reveal to us what needs to be changed. And as you speak to us, we commit that we'll make the necessary changes, adjustments. And so, Lord, we're thanking you right now for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we started a series last week called But Wait, There's More. And the whole idea behind it was that there's a lot that was provided for us in the atonement by what Jesus did. And sometimes we can, if we don't recognize that, we can fall short of receiving everything that he has for us. We can live less than a victorious life because we don't receive what's been provided. And this, it's scriptural for us to bring this back to our remembrance. We talked last week quickly about Psalm 103, verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I think there's a reason the Lord put all. He stated that way. We can remember some things, and he said, but he didn't say, remember some of the benefits. He said, remember all the benefits. It's like, there's more.
Yeah.
So he's telling us, remember everything, because there's times when you need to see all that he's done for you, to receive all that he's provided for you. There's more. We saw last week in Romans chapter 5 how Paul was talking to the church at Rome, and he kept telling them things like much more and also, but wait, there's more. It's kind of like and more than that, and he kept using those kind of phrases to tell us everything that there's more, some of the other things that have been provided, that have already been provided for us. Now, one thing I just want to clear up or clarify, when I say there's more for us, it's not that we're trying to get God to give us anything additional. It's not that God is holding anything back and we have to go ask him for something because there's more and he's not provided it for us. It's that the atonement of Jesus, what the price that Jesus paid, was so complete, so full, that it included more than a lot of times that what we are walking in, more than what we are receiving, more than we are seeing manifest in our lives. And so that's the change we want to make, is to see that more, so that we can walk in the fullness of what he has provided for us. So that's where we're going. So I just wanted to just state that right now, so that if we're going through this and we show something that there's more, we don't think, I have to go back and ask God for it. Oh, I see something else, I have to go back and ask God, would you give me this? We're going to see, no, it's already been provided. We see how to receive that. So we're going to start again this week in Romans chapter 5 again. So if you want to turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to start with. This is where I believe the Lord wants us to be this week. We have peace. That's something that has been provided for you. Now, this is something that is a tremendous benefit. This is something that the world does not have. The world does not have peace. The world is anxious, worried, fearful. Even in this time, they even celebrate fear. This time of the Halloween season, they'll celebrate fear. But there's all this anxiousness. There's insomnia, sleeping disorders. Some would say it's even at epidemic proportions because people can't sleep. There's worry, anxiousness. And without Jesus, without God, there's reason to worry. There's reason to be fearful because this world, without Jesus, is a scary place. It's a fearful place. But with Jesus, we have the ability to walk free from fear. Just like we were singing this morning, the Son has set free, is free indeed. We're free from fear. Amen. We have the ability to walk free from fear. We have the ability to walk free from worry. Amen. Free from anxiousness. Free from being anxious. We have the ability to be a light to people who are trapped in fear, trapped in anxiousness. We are free of that. But sad to say, a lot of times we end up being in the same position as a lot of the world. We end up getting trapped with anxious thoughts. If a circumstance changes, fear comes. And we can be in that same trap. So I want to really focus on two things, two areas today, two points. And one is that we want to establish that peace is yours, according to what the Word of God says. It's not something that you have to ask for. You don't have to say, Lord, give me peace. We're going to establish that peace is already yours. It's already a reality inside you. It's already been provided. It is yours. We want to establish that as given so that becomes foundational to you. And we also want to be able to show how to be able to receive then and walk in that peace, that reality of that peace. Because unless it's working in your life, it's not really benefiting you. And our focus of this series is, hey, wait, there's more benefit there. So you need to be able to walk in that. So there's a number of places, just like if you notice when we read Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he said, you have peace. It was a past tense. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace. Now, the start of that said, having been justified by faith. Now, we're coming into a middle of a thought right there. He started, therefore, having been justified by faith. It really ties back into what was in chapter 4. Paul, when he wrote that, didn't put chapters and verses in it. He just wrote it, and we added those later. So he was talking in the end of chapter 4 about how Jesus was died for our offenses and how we were raised, that he was raised up for our justification. We were made righteous. Therefore, because of what he did, therefore, having been justified by accepting what he did, you have peace. So that's one area there. It's also listed. Peace is one of the things that's listed in the fruit of the Spirit. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then patience. Those things are yours. Those things have been provided to you. But one scripture that I want you to turn to, because I'm gonna take to where what Jesus said, all right? Go to John chapter 14. Now, John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And this is right before he's going to go to the cross. Right before he's going to be tortured. He's going to be arrested, tortured. He's going to be crucified, beat, and die. And so this is his last meeting, if you will, with his 12 apostles, the ones that were closest to him. So what he's saying in here is his last instructions to him before this event of his death. And so in chapter 14, verse 27 is where we want to go. In chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus gave us his peace. Then he goes on to say, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So he's showing out here that there's a difference between what the world the world's peace and Jesus' peace. We've been given his peace. Now, the world's peace is everything okay around us? If the circumstances are okay, then I can be at peace. God's peace, Jesus' peace, is inside. Regardless of the circumstances, I have peace. Now, let me ask a question. Was Jesus ever afraid? Is there anything recorded where Jesus was afraid? Mm-hmm. Was there ever a chance that Jesus ever had an opportunity to be afraid? Yeah, there's one that comes to mind is in Mark chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. We'll just summarize it for time. This is where, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had taught parables. And then at the end of the day, he had told his disciples, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. And then he proceeded to go to sleep. Storm came up, it's getting swamped, the boat's getting swamped. And the disciples wake up Jesus and they say, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus gets up, he rebukes the wind and tells the wind, peace, be still. Then he turns to the disciples and said, why were you afraid? Where's your faith? They both are in the same circumstances, right? They're both in the same circumstances. The disciples took fear, but Jesus kept peace. And he spoke peace. Yes. Not only spoke peace, he commanded peace. Yes. Into the circumstances. Yes. He commanded the same thing that was generating fear for the disciples. He spoke peace into that situation. So his peace, this is the peace that he's given us. He said, my peace I give to you. This is the peace that you can operate. This is what he gave you. And it's not dependent on external circumstances. It's independent of that. They were both in the same situation. But yet, he could speak and command peace. That's what you've been given. In fact, that's what actually the disciples had that also. Because he told them, go to the other side. So then he was like, well, why didn't you do this? Basically, it's like, hey, go to the other side. He knew we were going to the other side. So that was it. Yeah, we were going to make it. He didn't tell him, let's go out halfway and sink. It's not what he said. So he told him, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. But this is the peace. He said, this is a type. This is an example of the peace that you have. Regardless of what circumstances are telling you, this is the peace that you have. This is the peace that you can operate from. Now, what's important about this peace, being able to operate in peace, being able to operate in freedom of fear, and why I think this, why the Lord had me put this particular topic next, this particular benefit next, is this foundational to receiving other things from God. Because fear is a thief. Fear, anxiousness, worry, those are how Satan come in and steal by that. This week I was watching a number of healing testimonies. And I watch them over on Andrew Womack's site, awmi.net. And he has different testimonies. And one of the common, some of them are really, really powerful. They're really powerful testimonies about people receiving what's already been provided to them. But a number of them talked about when symptoms came, fear came. And they knew they had to deal with that fear. They knew if they followed that path of fear, if they fed that fear, that they would not receive. And so this peace, being able to operate in peace, being able to operate, walk free from fear, is critical as we're looking at other benefits from God. It's really important that we establish this foundation that you're operating from a position of peace. Because when a symptom comes in the area of healing, or when circumstances look different, or a doctor's report says, that's going to be an opportunity to have fear enter in. And so it's going to be important to be able to stand in that position, to know your position, to know your position that I am complete in Him, that I have peace, that I have been given peace, that I am free from fear, that I'm delivered from the dominion of darkness. So that's why the foundation of that is so critical here. Now, we'll go back to John 14:27 because we haven't finished that verse. So he's showing the contrast here, that he said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what follows from receiving his peace. Let not your heart be troubled. I like the way the Amplified says that last piece, that last part of that verse. He says, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful or intimidated or cowardly or unsettled. That kind of covers a lot of the areas that maybe we don't even refer to as fear, like anxiousness or worry. That's fear. That's looking as something bad could happen or might happen. And it's not being secure in that area of peace and being free. So Jesus spelled it all out. Now the other area that I wanted to keep on looking here was what Jesus said in John 14:15-16. At the end of 16, as he's wrapping up this last meeting with the disciples, in John 16:33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now, he said this to them, they're in just a couple hours, they're going to witness him being arrested, beat, tortured, and killed. And Jesus is telling them, I'm telling you all these things so that you might have peace. So this is important. The words that Jesus gives us are so that we might have peace. He's given us promises. He's given us his word. The word of God has given us to give us peace. Then he goes on, he says, in this world you will have tribulation. Now tribulation's kind of we almost use it exclusively in religious circles or in Bible study circles. But if you look up that word tribulation in the Greek, in the concordance, or in the Strong's, it'll talk about the meaning of that is pressure, like pressing or pressure. Now, if you use that terminology, say in this verse, you'd say, in this world you will have pressure. Does anybody experience any pressure in this world? Yeah. In this world, you will have pressure. And then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So there is pressure. Now, there's pressure trying to move you off of what God said. There is pressure trying to get you to move into a position of fear, into a position of worry, into a position of anxiousness, to try to keep you from what God has provided for you. And so those are things that, when Jesus said, be of good cheer. In other words, the pressure doesn't have to move you. Because what's inside of you, that peace inside of you, can counter pressure against that and keep you in your bubble of protection, in your bubble of peace. That's not moved by outward circumstances. Now there's other areas that we could go into the scripture on that, but I wanted to jump over on one thing now to the application. How do we apply that? How do we walk in that? And to do that, I wanted to use a story from my life, walking through some of these issues. And it was about this is probably about 10 years ago. But for quite a period of time, I had my own business. Now, one of the exciting things about having your own business is you never know quite what your income's going to be the following month. That's very exciting. Because it depends on what billing you get, what people pay, what they do. It's very exciting. So along with that, then, so as part of to help balance things out, I had a line of credit, so it could kind of to draw on and pay back and things like that. So in the end of 2008, the world went through this little financial burp. And yeah, and so there were some things that happened. So at the end of 2008, the Lord was talking to me. I was listening to him about some direction. And I felt him tell me to pay off that line of credit. And for me, it had accumulated to about a year's worth of income. That's what the balance on this line of credit was. And for me to do that actually was, you know, was beyond my ability. But also for me to say pay off this line of credit, it was a challenge to me from a different standpoint, because when I first, probably 20 years before that, 25 years before that, I had first started to hear about how God wants you to be out of debt. God's best is to owe no man anything. And so, like I mentioned last week, sometimes when I would see a promise, I would try to take it upon myself to make it happen. It became a performance thing for me. And that was what it was true for debt. It became a performance to me. And I always had these 5-year plans. Okay, we had this 5-year plan to get out of debt. And it was like, how long? 5 years, we're gonna get out of debt. And I would be frustrated. Kids would be coming along, different things would happen, this would happen, and I couldn't do it. And finally I said, I can't do this. And so when he was talking to me about in 2000, you know, for next year, 2009, believe to get out of debt, I was like, okay, but I'm not doing it. And meaning that I'm not gonna take on this burden of it, because I knew how much I had been burnt on it before trying to do this in my own strength. I was just gonna say, okay, it's you. I'm not gonna try to make this happen. And that was fine. So all through 2009, while the world system was going through like a famine, things started happening. And all of a sudden we were getting different income from different areas. So much so that I think it was December 29th, 30th, somewhere in there, we made the last payment on that line of credit. So we saw an additional year's worth of income come in and pay that down, pay it off, pay it to zero in a time when the world was experiencing a famine. Now, here's my point. A couple of days later, it's 2010, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm not hearing audible voices, okay? It's God speaking to me in my spirit. I'm just being sensitive what the direction is. So the Holy Spirit says to me, I fear the direction he's heading me, says, close that line of credit account. And this wave of fear went through me. And this fear went through me. Now, wait a minute. I had just seen him perform the miraculous. We had an extra year's income and we paid that off in a time when the world was going through a financial lack, a financial famine. And here, when that was said to me, this fear came over me. And I caught myself at that point. And I said, oh, Holy Spirit, why was I afraid? And that's a really good question to ask the Holy Spirit. Because there's times when something will come up and you'll feel the fear, a good time then to say is, Holy Spirit, why was I afraid? Because it's going to allow him then to show you something in your heart. And that's going to be critical. So I stopped and I said, ooh, why was I afraid there? Because I shouldn't have been. I mean, it's like the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and they had all these, you know, they took all the plagues and they took all the gold and they took everything with them and they're out here and they get to the Red Sea and the army's behind them and they're afraid. They just saw all that. I can see how that happened, because it was very similar to me. I saw this. Why was I afraid? And the Holy Spirit is so cool. He's very gentle. And he said, because you made that line of credit your source instead of me. I said, oh, That's right. That's like, ouch. You know, that's like, ouch. Now, in and of itself, a line of credit is just a tool. It's not the big deal. That's not a cool. But I had made the line of credit my source. So, and looking back, I said, oh yeah, I could see. Because if things were tight, okay, I got the line of credit. Something was like, well, I got the line of credit. And so for me to say, oh, it's not there. There was a fear that was happening in my heart. And so there was an adjustment that needed to be made. Because now it was like, ooh, this is not just, this is something that I have to deal with. So when I saw that I was making a line of credit my source instead of God, that's not where I wanted to be. I said, I'm closing it. I'm closing that, and I'm going to find out what God says. I need to go back to the Word and find out and see Him in my heart as His, as my provider. To see Him as the one who supplies all my needs out of His riches and glory. And so that same time, because you know, I had taxes due in a few weeks. I had, you know, estimated income tax to do. I had property taxes. All these things were coming up. All these things were very real. So there was things happening at that point. But I said, no, He is my source. But rather than just say He was source, I had to go renew my mind and see Him as my source and allow the Holy Spirit to change the heart. So I think that's if we wanted to say, how do I walk in this? How do I defeat fear? How do I keep this from coming in? When you see fear spring up, then that's the time to say, oh, Holy Spirit, why that happened? Why was I afraid? You notice that was the same question that Jesus asked the disciples in the boat. He got up, He rebuked the wind and told the storm to peace, be still. Then He turns to them and He says, why were you afraid? That's a question that we need to ask too. Why was I afraid? If He has provided for me, and if I have seen His provision over and over again, when something new happens to hit me, then why am I afraid? And then allow Him, not just ask, but be open to the answer. Because it might be like it might be an ouch in a sense, but it's a good ouch. I mean, it's like, ooh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I hadn't recognized that. But you know what? When he told me that, it was not condemning. It was not condemnation. It was like, bring this out for my benefit. He was telling me that for my sake. So it was like telling me, your shoe's untied. Oh, there's no condemnation with that. So, oh, thank you, and tie my shoe. There's not condemnation associated. When I saw it, it was just a matter of repent. Now, repent is not penance. Repent is not groveling. Repent is, I'm going in the wrong direction. Go the right direction. That's repent. Change. Change and go the right way. Change and go the way that He directs you to. So that's a key to the process. You say, how do I free fear? How do I walk free from fear? It's going to be depending on what caused the fear in your heart. What position, what place is in your heart? You can see the Word of God that Jesus told over and over again, just like in John 14:27. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated or disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful or intimidated or cowardly or unsettled. He's telling us, don't do that. But He's in telling us that, He's also telling us that we don't have to. The circumstances, regardless of what they are, they don't have to make you. They don't have to make you afraid. But if the fear is coming in, then you say, why, Lord? What adjustment make? What am I not seeing here? Because usually, I believe that it will go back down to relationship. It will come back to a relationship issue with Him. Just like mine was a relationship with Him. I didn't see Him as my source. Now, if somebody would have asked me prior to that, I would have said, yeah, God's my source. And matter of fact, He provided for me. And look here, he provided this and he provided this. He took me an extra year's income. He paid off this. We got all this done. I saw his provision, but in my heart, there was a part that didn't see him as my source. And so that needed to be adjusted. And he is so gracious. So if there's an area of fear that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, something happens and your reaction is fear, he'll deal with that with you. And he will deal with it lovingly. He will deal with it compassionately, because whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. He wants you free. He wants you free in order so that you can receive, so that you can walk in the fullness of what he has provided for you, so that you can receive his healing, so you can receive his provision. In the area of healing, has anybody ever had a symptom come and then fear is accompanied with it? Same thing. It's the same thing. Oh, why did I fear? Am I not seeing you as the healer? As I'm not seeing you as this has already been done. Is the symptom become bigger in my mind than what the healer is? Do I not see it as, hey, this is completed? And so it's the same, any area where fear is, if it's a fear of people, a fear of man. I've had to struggle with that, with, you know, like being in business or being in that, somebody can exercise authority over to you, can end up being fearful of them. And so, same thing. Why am I afraid? Am I not seeing you? Am I not secure in your acceptance of me, Lord? There's different things, but he will speak to a heart if you give him room. And a good trigger is then if when you do step into and find yourself in a position of fear, when it does come up, check with them. It's a good time to say, why was I afraid? Just like he asked the disciples, why were you afraid? Ask him, why was I afraid? So that he can show you, so that he can deal with that, so that you can be free, so that you can receive what he's provided for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's one area as far as one piece of how do I receive that. It's like ask him. When you see something, when you see the fear, ask him. Then expect him to answer you. Expect that he answers you. Expect that you'll hear him. Then be agreeable to make that change. Another area, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Paul talks about walking free of anxiety and free and fear. Now, when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in jail. He was in prison. And yet, in prison, he's writing the letters. And in this particular letter, a lot of times he'll say, rejoice, be joyful. It was a very joyful letter, even though he's in prison. And so, in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 6. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here we have the peace of God. Just like Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Here he said, the peace of God. Now you notice what he said. He starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So if you're talking to the Lord about something and if you have a promise, include thanksgiving, knowing that it's already done. Yep. If I gave you $1,000.
Thank you.
That's right. That's the response. Thank you. If you got it, you say thank you. Same here. You're presenting it before the Lord in your prayer. Say hey, and he shows you what's provided. Hey, this area of healing, I provided it for you. Thank you. Now, when you're in a position of oh, thank you, Lord, it's provided for me. Thank you. Now, you've stopped fear. You've already received. You've already started your receiving process. You've already started it by saying thanks. You've already started by being thankful because you already see it as being provided for. And so in that, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So it's something that your mind can't comprehend. Your mind doesn't really track with. And it's something that the world system can't quite figure out either. It surpasses all understanding. Will guard your mind and your heart. Your mind and your heart. You can be such a position of peace that you almost feel like guilty for not worrying. Because it is so, you're so peaceful, you almost think, I should be worried, but I'm not. From a natural standpoint, there was a time I was, back in the early 90s, I had taken a job at another place. I felt the Lord open up a window, you know, open up a door for me, and I went and took that. And about 1 year after I took that job, the company got bought by a company down in St. Louis, and everybody got let go, except they took two people down to St. Louis. So I was without a job, and my last day was on a particular Friday, and my fifth child came on the following Monday. So, and this was before the internet. You couldn't do Google searches. You couldn't do, you know, monster.com and all that kind of stuff to find a job. So I was doing it the old school way, where you're writing up resumes and you're mailing them out and you're doing that kind of stuff. And so it was, so here I am, the house, five kids, this stuff going on, and I had a piece. And they gave us a little severance and we're doing some stuff and I'm getting, and I had this piece. And my family's saying, are you worried? I said, no. And, you know, and I'm not getting any responses back on my inquiries and my job searches, nothing. No calls, nothing. And time's going by and months are going by. And it's like, I still had this peace. And I had to think to myself, should I be worried? But it was like there was such a peace. It was a peace that passed understanding. You can walk in that peace that passes understanding. And it worked out. Yes. It took care of it. When I needed it, it opened up at the right time. I got another position. It was really good. It worked out real well. I was with that company for about 10 years, then they went out of business. And I had six kids. And I was out without work. And I'm talking to the Lord about it. And it was like he said, we've been through this before. I was like, that's right. This isn't a big deal. We've been through this before. And so I allowed that peace to come back in so I wouldn't go down and take. But you can be at a point where peace becomes so rules. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it rule. Let it be the final authority, that peace. There is a place that it's beyond human understanding. It's beyond. And that peace that passes understanding, you can't figure it out. It's like you should be worried. Something's wrong with you. Yeah. Don't wake up. I mean, don't wake me up. It's like, no, the word becomes so strong. I mean, if you have that revelation of that provider, the love of God, Him as you can be so strong, so secure in that this is going to be okay. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed baking bread. All this, it's all a provision that's been provided for you. And you can walk in that. You can walk in that peace that passes understanding. That is available to you. Praise God. And you just recognize Him, see Him as that provider. Praise God. So that is available. I want to give a couple more scriptures. We're going to skip some things. But there's one here I really like in Isaiah 41:13. I'm going to read it. You can write it down and check it out later. It's really cool. Isaiah 41:13. It says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Can you see a father doing that? Can you see him? Give me your hand. And he holds your hand and said, fear not, I will help you. And he said, okay, ooh, if God's on me, if God's for me, who can be against me? If God's for me, hey, I got this. So I wanted to, you can look that one up later. Meditate on that. Meditate on that. See him holding your hand. See him telling you, don't fear. I'll help you. See him. Picture him as your father, not just a word. Yeah, he's my father. But see him that way in your heart. Another one that I want to do here is, it's in Romans. And I like this one. Romans 16:20. I have to smile when I read this. You can write it down. I'll just read it. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And it just seems almost like a, in a way, an oxymoron. Like, the God of peace will crush Satan. You know, I got this God of peace. Because we sometimes think of peace as kind of like almost pacifistic. I'm not going to get. But the God of peace in you will crush Satan. And I like what it says here. It says, we'll crush Satan under your feet. Amen. All right? So it's him in you crushing Satan. In you. So there's different interpretations of what that actually means as far as is it now, is it later? Is that, but I think there's part of that, since it's under our feet, I think part of it is whenever we stand up and whenever we receive what God has provided for us. And whenever we take a stand and we see him as our provider and we see him and take that peace and reject that fear and we stand and receive what he has already provided for us, I think we are inflicting the victory. Yes. Jesus said he bruised his head. It was a prophesied way back in Genesis, where it talked about he would bruise his head. And I think we're still enforcing that. This scripture says the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So when you're standing on that, you're enforcing that victory that Jesus already provided for. He already provided it for you. So those are some areas. We have just about run out of time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with this one. Isaiah 26:3. It may be familiar to you, but it's a good one to meditate on. He said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. When your mind is stayed on him, you can receive that gift of peace. You can receive that position of peace just by keeping your mind stayed on him. It's your choice. Just like when Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. It's something that you can choose to do. And you can choose to keep your mind focused on him. You can choose to keep your thoughts, your thinking on him. This goes in agreement with what it says over in Romans. And Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said to be carnally minded, to be physically minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, life and peace. Spiritually minded. That means your mind is on the promises. Your mind on who he is, not what you've done, but who he is, what he has provided. How his good fatherhood, him holding your hand, him saying, don't fear, I'll help you. All those pictures, all that is being spiritually minded. Peering on what's already been accomplished, what's already been provided through, what's already a reality in your spirit. Keeping your mind stayed on that will keep that perfect peace before you. You'll be able to hold that person. And then from that position of peace, then now you can start receiving the other promises that we'll be beginning into some of those in future ones. Can I have the prayer ministers come forward? Because there's more. You know, but wait, there's more. But we're establishing, last week was foundational, and in a sense this was foundational, but it was key. Okay, could you all stand up? We just want to give it a minute here to tell the Lord thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us peace. For being the God of peace. So that we can have the peace of God. Lord, you are a good Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us areas where we need to adjust. Thank you for showing us when we need to ask, why was I afraid? And then revealing that to us so we can receive and walk in the fullness of what you have already provided for us. We will not be in bondage to fear. We will not live less than what you have already provided for us. Lord, we receive your fullness. We receive your peace. Amen. Now, if there's an area of fear that you've been struggling with, you want some agreement, come on forward for prayer. If there's any other need that you have that you want to get prayer for, come on forward for prayer. The rest of you, we're going to have food fellowship now. Let me just speak to that food. Thank you so much, Lord, for this food that you provided and this opportunity that we get to share it together. We receive it. We receive it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you want for prayer, come on forward. The rest of you, you are dismissed. Amen.